Dr. Gerald Ford goes right on, urging all elderly Americans to get this flu vaccination. This is the same Gerald Ford who issued the following statement about the Red Butcher of China, Mao Zedong, when he died, quote from Gerald Ford. He was a remarkable and a very great man. It's tragic, of course, that a man of his great, remarkable ability and skill and vision and foresight has passed away, end of quote, by Gerald Ford on Mao Zedong. Remember, only 12 men have ever had swine flu so far as is known in the United States. Only one died, probably of other causes. 6 were deliberately injected with swine flu virus, living virus, in England. 5 had slight fevers. No one else caught it. Why is Mao Zedong's admirer, Gerald A. Ford, so desirous of injecting some unknown substance into millions of anti-communist Americans? And that is enough on that. I can only warn, I cannot compel. And may God give you wisdom and understanding. I won't take but a minute to offer our monthly literature packet. This is the last offer for the September packet. My booklet, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America and Be Destroyed. This identifies America in Bible prophecy. It shows that God knows about the Red Communist plans to destroy Christian America from within and from without, and the final destruction of the Red Communists. Several other pieces of literature will be sent along. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free September packet. The address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Back to Leviticus 18, the chapter that reveals the doings of the enemies of God's people, the Canaanites, in such a way that we could recognize them if they came into our land. Jesus said we could recognize our enemies by their fruits. Leviticus 18 lists the doings or the fruits of the enemies of Christendom. We read the first part of Leviticus 18. God said in verse 3, after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. I explained that ordinances is a religious term, meaning the things listed in Leviticus 18 are the practices of a religion, the pagan religion of the Canaanite people. Verse 6 through 22 prohibit nudity, incest, adultery, and homosexuality. These, as you know, are what we call sex crimes and are forbidden by the Christian Bible. They used to be forbidden by American law, and punishment was inflicted upon any in our land who practiced them. I explained also that since Esau married Canaanite wives and moved away from Jacob to live with the Canaanites, Esau's descendants would be Canaanites. So as we read of these Canaanite practices, we are reading of the religion of the Esau-Edomites, or of the people who are the Reds in today's world. Let's read a few of these verses. Verse 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Verse 7 through 18 are similar, prohibiting nudity and incest in all of its forms. Verse 20, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. As I stated last week, if there were Edomite Canaanites in America producing movies or television shows, you would expect them to glorify and exalt adultery, nudity, and other illicit sex acts. If there were Edomite Canaanites in America, they would probably run pornographic publishing houses and promote and sell magazines with nude pictures in them and pictures of sex acts. If there were Edomite Canaanites in America, they might try to get jobs as newspaper columnists, school textbook writers, and high school and college professors, where they could write articles glorifying illicit sex, nudity, homosexuality, and so on. They even might want to have columns in the newspaper where people could write in for advice, and they could subtly promote premarital sex, stand up for homosexuals as a normal thing, and in other ways slyly carry on their Canaanite religion without their readers really realizing what they were doing. Some might even become lawyers and judges and try to prevent their fellow Edomites from being punished for publishing pornography and promoting prostitution. Have any of you seen things like that happening in America? Verse 21 and 22, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Verse 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind is abomination." Those verses need more explanation than I can give today, especially the part about letting your seed pass through the fire to Molech. Molech is the Ammonite name for the god Baal, and the ancient Canaanites killed children and burned their bodies in fire as a sacrifice to Baal. If there were Edomite Canaanites in America, they might try to legalize abortion in order to obtain babies to burn in fire as human sacrifices to their god Molech or Baal. Haley's Bible Handbook said of the Canaanites, quote, "Prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth were official murderers of little children." Haley points out that that helps us understand why Jehu killed all the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. One doctor in California killed 10,000 little babies in 1975. But then that is just the practice of medicine, isn't it? That couldn't be a religion, or could it? That is, of course, if there were such people as these Canaanites in America. Verse 21 also has to do with some other religious doctrines which need further explanation from the Bible. God willing, we will make that a separate Bible study next week. The last part of verse 21 says, "Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord." Now last week we read in verse 27 that all the people of Canaan did all these abominations. In other words, they caused children to pass through the fire to Baal, and they blasphemed the name of Israel's God. If there were Edomite Canaanites in America today, you could expect them to be blasphemers of Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. They might oppose Christ to the extent that they would try to get the Bible out of American schools. They would very possibly, if there were any here, try to stop the use of the name of Jesus Christ in prayers, in school, or in public places. For as Edomite Canaanites, they would not want the name of Israel's God mentioned in their presence. Some of them might pretend they were Christians and get in pulpits and seminaries and on the radio to teach things which are contrary to God's Word. According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, one form of blasphemy was the teaching of false doctrine. Edomite Canaanites might just masquerade as Christian ministers and blaspheme Christ by teaching false doctrine. What is being described here in Leviticus 18 is a religion, the religion of the Edomite Canaanites, the ancient enemies of Israel. Haley's Bible Handbook tells us that the ancient temples of the Canaanites have been excavated, so they would be expected to have places of worship here. Places of worship, of course, which would be places where Jesus Christ was opposed and blasphemed. This is Pastor Emery. Write me for the free September packet, last offer of the plan of the Reds to devastate large parts of America, kill millions of our people by atomic and hydrogen bombs, and place the survivors under total bondage to a Red Edomite Communist Empire. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll also send you my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America and Be Destroyed. This shows from the Bible that God will allow them to come in and then return to God for help. God will intervene and destroy the invading enemy. Praise ye the Lord. You'll also receive a copy of George Washington's vision of 1777 at Valley Forge, where he saw this great invasion from Asia, Europe, and Africa. It fits Bible prophecy as we see it unfolding in the current war by the Red Edomites against Christianity. We have another tract which identifies the Edomites. It is about 30 pages long and covers part of what we have talked about on these broadcasts, and a few other items all related to Bible prophecy. Next week, when I return, God willing, I will show you that abortion, yes, abortion, as it is practiced in America, is a ritual of the Canaanite religion of Baal worship. May God have mercy on us for what we have allowed to come to pass in God's country. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America. We were reading in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, the last two broadcasts, and we have more to discuss in that chapter. I said that Leviticus 18, once read by Americans, would give them knowledge and insight into the internal corruption of the morals of America and would also enable them to identify the red Edomite enemies in our midst by their religion and their activities. Jesus Christ told the disciples in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Then in the next verse, Jesus tells the disciples how they can recognize those enemies who are ravening wolves instead of sheep. Verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." The next verses state some truisms about grapes producing grapes, figs producing figs, and so on. And then Jesus repeats in verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Leviticus 18 is, in effect, a listing of the fruits of the religion of the Canaanites, the ancient inhabitants of Palestine. In previous broadcasts, we have seen that these Canaanites were intermarried with the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother, and that Esau's descendants are the modern Edomites, or Reds of today. By simple deduction, we can know that the Edomites of today could be recognized by their religion, by what they do, and by what they profess and declare. They will not call themselves Edomites necessarily, or Canaanites. They will be in disguise. Leviticus 18 lists eight sins practiced by the ancient Canaanites as part of their religion. If you see certain people practicing and advocating these eight things in America today, you can be reasonably certain that Edomites are here, and they are practicing their ancient and filthy religion among us. Anyway, we considered verses 6 through 22 to some extent, but for new listeners, those verses accuse the Canaanites of practicing nudity, incest, adultery, burning their children as sacrifices to Molech or Baal, blaspheming the God of Israel, and practicing homosexuality. And, of course, we saw from verse 3 through verse 5 that God specifically commanded the Israelites not to do those things, but instead to obey God's ordinances and God's laws. It is obvious that hundreds of thousands of Christian Americans are terribly concerned with the immorality and sex filth in our nation. In the last 20 years, and especially in the last 5, hundreds of local organizations have been formed all over the nation to combat pornography, to fight the glorification of nudity and adultery in movies, on television, and even in school textbooks, and by and large, these efforts have been quite unsuccessful. And although many citizens became angry and aroused, they were unable to stop the dirty movies or the pornographic magazines. In many cases, protests did go so far as to get cases in courts where the judges or the state or federal Supreme Court decided in favor of the pornographer and the immoralist. Christians have been at a disadvantage because they have thought they were fighting the lust of the flesh or just sinful sexual desires. What they have not understood is that these filthy sex practices, which Christians abhor, are actually the rituals of an ancient and alien religion. They have not realized that those who promote and practice such things are not content with the simple permission to continue that practice, but like all religionists, they desire to force their religion, yes, their religion, on the entire people. They are not content with being allowed to show sex movies in private homes or in theaters. They want sex books in schools and even in churches. They are not content with being allowed to practice homosexuality among themselves. They want to force us to hire homosexuals, to teach in public schools, and to be allowed to adopt children and to hold public office. Man has recognized for centuries that religious fervor is one of the strongest desires which affects or controls men. In our own Christian faith, we are proud of the martyrs of the past who have risked their lives to preach Christ in an alien environment. We are proud, although sorrowful, of those who have died by the hundreds of thousands under anti-Christian governments when they would not deny Christ in order to live. Paul writes of some of the martyrs of the faith in Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 38, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bond and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth." In the last 400 years, thousands of Christians have spent their whole lives taking the gospel of Jesus to the heathen in foreign lands. Many have died in the attempt. Even today, most Christians are quite zealous in attempting to convince others to practice the Christian religion, and we don't see anything wrong with that. What Christians have not realized is that there is another religion on the earth, also an ancient one, whose adherents are as zealous as the Christians in spreading their religion, but that they are careful to hide the truth that it is a religion which they are promoting. Here in Leviticus 8 is revealed that religion, and once one understands it, one can see that adherents or exponents of that religion are active in America. Verse 20 of Leviticus 18 reads, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, to defile thyself with her." As I stated before, if followers of the ancient religion of the Edomites and Canaanites were here in America and could get control of movies and television, we could expect them to glorify adultery via those medias. In fact, they would be expected to try and deceive our young people into thinking that illicit sex was all right, and then trick them into practicing what is one of the rituals of the worship of Baal, for Baal worship was a religion of illicit sex. Many of you have a copy of Haley's Bible Handbook. Under the chapter on the book of Joshua is a section titled, Religion of the Canaanites. I am going to read part of that for you. It will help you recognize Baal worship in our own supposedly Christian nation. Before I do that, I want to reoffer the September free literature, and this will be the last time for this specific packet. One item in the September packet is my booklet, "The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America and Be Destroyed." This is on Bible prophecy. It identifies America in Bible prophecy and follows with a Bible study of the last battle between Christians and the anti-Christians. As I have shown in the last month or so on these broadcasts, Edom, or the Canaanites, are the modern Reds, and they intend to destroy all Christians from the earth. They are using a socio-economic and political campaign erroneously called communism to destroy all defenses against their military power. Then when they feel we are sufficiently disarmed, they intend to strike us with bombers, missiles, internal revolution, and an armed invasion of millions of their Asiatic soldiers. All of this is predicted in the Bible and discussed in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America and Be Destroyed. Another important article in our Free September packet is a recent revelation of the secret plans of the Reds to explode atomic and hydrogen bombs on a number of U.S. and Western European cities. They then intend to drive half of the population, about 100 million Americans, out of the cities and away from their homes as they did in Vietnam and Cambodia. At that point, defense against total communist takeover would be only incidental and sporadic. They would then plan to set up a red dictatorship in America, begin the extermination of all quote-unquote undesirables, meaning the white Anglo-Saxon Christians. They call us wasps, and they hate us. This is an alarming report, but once you read it, you will see that it fits with what most of you know is going on. The only thing it really reveals is that high officials in the U.S. government know all about the plan of the Reds and are cooperating with it. The other literature in the September packet all relates to Bible studies on prophecy and other items available through this ministry. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Write and ask for the free September packet. That is September, not October, to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. We'll repeat that address again near the end of the broadcast. All right, now from Haley's Bible Handbook on Religion of the Canaanites. Quote, Baal was their principal god, Ashtoreth, Baal's wife, their principal goddess. She was the personification of the reproductive principle in nature. Ishtar was her Babylonian name, Astart her Greek and Roman name. Balaam, the plural of Baal, were images of Baal. Ashtaroth is the plural of Ashtoreth. Asherah was a sacred pole, cone of stone, or a tree trunk representing the goddess. And I should interject here, many of you have heard of the so-called maypole, an upright tree or pole set in the ground with streamers hanging from it, and you've read that people danced around it on May 1st in some sort of a celebration they called May Day. Well, that was and is the sacred pole of Baal worship. May 1st was a high religious day for the Edomite Canaanites, and this is why Red Communism chose May 1st as their day to celebrate all over the world, and they do. They have special May Day parades and so on. It is all part of their hidden worship of the god Baal. Reading on in Haley's Bible Handbook. Temples of Baal and Ashtoreth were usually together. Priestesses were temple prostitutes. Sodomites were male temple prostitutes. The worship of Baal, Ashtoreth, and other Canaanite gods consisted in the most extravagant orgies. Their temples were centers of vice. Notice, prostitutes were priestesses in Baal worship. As such, of course, we would expect proponents of Baalism in America to especially honor prostitutes. Let me suggest how this has been done in movies for at least a generation in America, usually without the moviegoer realizing what was being done. Thousands of movies have been made where the hero was a kind of a ruffian, but eventually straightened out during the movie and married the heroine, who was usually a nice girl. But also in the movie would be a second girl, a bar girl, a thinly disguised prostitute. To keep the Christian Americans from stopping the whole movie industry in disgust, the producers would let the hero marry the good girl, but in the process of the story, the prostitute would be shown to have a heart of gold. She was the one who would care for the hero when he was wounded. or she would throw herself in front of the hero as the villain shot him and give her life to save the hero, and 100 other ways were used to glorify this second girl, the prostitute in the movies, right under the noses of the Christian audience. In that manner, millions of young Americans had their minds conditioned to think well of prostitutes. They considered them not evil people at all, but somehow victims of their environment, and really good-hearted and noble. In recent years, the movie makers, of course, are more specific in their promotion and glorification of prostitution. In about 50 years, these movies and other methods of brainwashing have reached such proportion that there is a great drive on now to prevent any sort of legal prosecution of prostitutes, and in fact, they hope to make prostitution legal so that separate buildings could be maintained in every city where prostitutes could ply their ancient trade. These houses of prostitution, of course, are actually worship temples for those who follow the religion of Baal. Remember what I just read from Haley's Bible Handbook. The worship of Baal, Ashtoreth, and other Canaanite gods consisted in the most extravagant orgies. Their temples were centers of vice. No, my Christian friends, the drive to establish in America public acceptance and tolerance for all those sins listed in Leviticus 18 is not just a simple desire to follow the lust of the flesh. It is a religion. Let me repeat, it is a manifestation of the religion of the people promoting it. Is it possible? It is being pushed in America by a race of people who are descendants of the Edomite Canaanites of ancient Palestine. Reading on in Haley's Bible Handbook. Archaeological note, Canaanite religion. God's express command to Israel was to destroy or drive out the Canaanites, Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 and 3. And Joshua went at the task in dead earnest, God himself helping with mighty miracles. In reality, God did it. In excavations at Gezer, McAllister of the Palestine Exploration Fund in 1904 to 1909 found in the Canaanite stratum, which had preceded Israelite occupation of about 1500 B.C., the ruins of a high place which had been a temple in which they worshipped their god Baal and their goddess Ashtoreth. It was an enclosure 150 by 120 feet, surrounded by a wall open to the sky where the inhabitants held their religious festivals. Within the wall were 10 rude stone pillars, 5 to 11 feet high, before which the sacrifices were offered. Under the debris in this high place, or temple, McAllister found great numbers of jars containing the remains of children who had been sacrificed to Baal. The whole area proved to be a cemetery for newborn babes, end of quote, from Haley's Bible Handbook. Have some of you, dear Christian people, wondered at the ferocious drive to make abortion or the killing of babies acceptable and legal in America? Well, wonder no longer. It is another part of the same religion which promotes nudity, incest, adultery, prostitution, and homosexuality. In the case of abortion, of course, all of these things work together. The proponents of the religion of the Edomites do everything they can to promote premarital and extramarital sex. This gets millions of girls pregnant outside of marriage. Then the Edomites can set up referral centers, claiming they want to help these unfortunate girls, and there they send these girls to an abortionist who will take the little baby and kill it. In another section in Haley's Bible Handbook on Baal worship, I read this. Prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth were official murderers of little children. Haley mentions later that the Baal priest preferred the firstborn child for their sacrifice. That would explain, of course, the modern drive by the Baal priest to abort the first child born to young American girls. When God instructed Abraham to place Isaac on the altar and sacrificed him to God, and then stopped him and provided a substitutionary ram for the sacrifice, God was demonstrating to Abraham that Abraham's God did not ask for the death of the firstborn like the God of the Canaanites among whom Abraham and Isaac dwelt. This is the reason we read in the books of the law that God claimed all of the firstborn in Israel as his. We read this in Exodus 13. Just as God was bringing Israel out of Egypt and into the land of the Canaanites, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. God was telling Israel, you can never sacrifice your firstborn to another god, for I claim all the firstborn in Israel, they are mine. This was then made into a part of the law covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai. The covenant begins in Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments, then through chapter 21, 22, and 23, then sealed with the sacrificial blood in Exodus 24. We read this in Exodus 22, verse 29, in the middle of the covenant. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits, or of thy liquors, which means the grape juices and so on. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. How many of you Christian people knew that was in the covenant in the Bible? God made a direct reference to the Canaanitish practice of slaying the firstborn when he spoke to Israel through Micah the prophet. Micah 6, verses 6 and 7. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And God's answer is in the next verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God does not require, nor want, the death of the firstborn. God requires and desires obedience to his law. The ancient religion of the Canaanites required disobedience to God's law and the human sacrifice of the firstborn to their God. That was the religion which Israel was to destroy root and branch, along with all who practiced it. It is also significant that God ended the Mount Sinai covenant with a warning about the Edomite Canaanites, verse 32 and 33 of Exodus 23. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Most honest Americans know that traditional America is being destroyed from within, and that that destruction is primarily from what we call immorality or sin. What they don't know, and what I pray you are learning from these broadcasts, is that that immorality is generated and promoted and advanced by Edomite Canaanites in America who are doing to us exactly what God warned Israel the Canaanites would do to them. They will make you to sin against me.